Before I go into the lesson, I have a song by Bishop Tim Hill. Scoot up your chair and be blessed.
I know actions speak much louder than any words can say. It's easy to express your love, then turn and walk away. But when Jesus said, I love you, to a world that was lost, he had his say with love displayed from an old rugged cross, where he said, I'm dying to tell you I love you. Dying to bring you life anew.
If you have your Bible nearby, I hope you do, I'd like for you to turn to Ephesians, the second chapter. I'll begin reading in verse 8. For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Isn't those wonderful words? By grace you are forgiven. Forgiven through faith. And it's not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. You don't work in order to be forgiven. But you will work if you have been forgiven. Listen to what verse 10 says. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. I like that. You don't have to work to be forgiven. He forgives us. We are his workmanship, his creation, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. James put it in these words, "Even so, faith, if it has not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say that you have faith, and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works." I've often heard people say that faith was hard to describe. They said faith is an invisible thing. You can't see it. So it's hard to tell when someone has faith. How do you know when somebody has faith? The Bible says that faith is the substance of things unseen. So faith is a substance. It's the substance of things unseen. So you would ask me, what does this substance look like? It looks like work. Work is the evidence of things not seen. One of the first things I learned as a young Christian was that we are saved by faith alone and not by works. Understanding and applying this simple truth has been the root of contentious debate throughout the long history of Christian faith. The notion that one could be forgiven by doing enough good works and could even purchase justification through the buying of indulgence was ultimately the root cause of Martin Luther's rebellion against the Roman Church. This same basic debate has seesawed back and forth within the church ever since, with the pendulum swinging more towards faith in some groups and in certain times more towards works in others. But faith and works were never meant to be in disharmony. For the faith-only crowd, this one verse in Ephesians, the second chapter, this one verse seems to win the argument. But if you look at the next verse, verse 10, we will understand the harmony between faith and works. For we are God's workmanship, verse 10 tells us, created in Christ unto good works. Taken together, these two powerful verses tell us that we are indeed saved through faith alone, the amazing gift of a loving God, but that we are saved for a purpose, to do the good work God has actually prepared before for us to carry out. We are forgiven by faith. We are saved by works. Our Christian habit is to blame the world's deterioration standards with an air of rather self-righteous dismay. We criticize its violence, dishonesty, immorality, disregard for human life, materialistic greed. The world is going down the tube, we say. But whose fault is it? Who is to blame? Let me put it like this. If the house is dark when night falls, who is to blame? There's no sense in blaming the house, because that's what happens when the sun goes down. The question to ask is, where is the light? If the meat goes bad and becomes inedible, there is no sense in blaming the meat. That is what happens when bacteria are left alone to breed. The question to ask is, where is the salt? If our society deteriorates and its standards decline until it becomes a dark night, or a stinking fish. There is no sense in blaming society. That is what happens when fallen men and women are left to themselves, and human selfishness is unchecked. The question to ask is, where is the church? Why are the salt and the light of Jesus Christ not permeating and changing our society? It is nothing but hypocrisy to raise our eyebrows and shrug our shoulders or wring our hands. Jesus told us to be the world's salt and light. If therefore darkness and rottenness abounds, it is largely our fault, and we must accept the blame. We see in Matthew, the 7th chapter, that Christ's true disciples, like the good tree, will bear good fruit. By their fruit, you will recognize them. Therefore, faith and works should be seen not as two opposing ideas, but as two manifestations of the same idea. This ongoing argument about the nature of salvation has caused different groups of Christians to take sides in a conflict that should never have occurred.